So in section 40, Calvin focuses on our Father in heaven. First of all, Calvin says, be very careful with locational, spatial ideas, because God is not bounded in heaven. He's not shut up in heaven. This is, at some level, accommodational language for us. Calvin says, he quotes 1 Kings, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, the heaven of heavens cannot contain me. By this he obviously means that he is not confined to any particular region, but is diffused through all things. But our minds, so crass are they, could not have conceived his unspeakable glory otherwise. So this is language that is designed to elevate our thinking about God so that we can have some sense of his greatness and his majesty. Calvin says in the next, good two-thirds of the first paragraph of section 40, that in heaven teaches us three things about God. One, that he is gloriously transcendent. He says, consequently, it has been signified to us by heaven, for we can behold nothing more sublime or majestic than this. While, therefore, wherever our senses comprehend anything, they commonly attach it to that place. God is set above all place, so that when we seek him, we must rise above all perception of body and soul. So in heaven is meant to raise our thoughts, to see something of God's transcendence, his majesty. Second, he says, God's holiness is emphasized. By this expression, he, God, is lifted above all chance of either corruption or change. In heaven, perhaps, Calvin says, is a way of thinking of God that he is above the earth. He is above, he sits as king above the floods. He's not subject to the changeability, as the scripture says, in whom is no variation or shadow of turning. And so God is above all that is impure on the earth. And third, it signifies God's power. So his transcendence, his holiness, and his power. Calvin says, finally, it signifies that he embraces and holds together the entire universe and controls it by his might. Therefore, it is as if he had been said to be of infinite greatness or loftiness, of incomprehensible essence, of boundless might, and of everlasting immortality. But while we hear this, our thought must be raised higher when God is spoken of, lest we dream up anything earthly or physical about him, lest we measure him by our small measure, or conform his will to our emotions. In heaven, that God is boundlessly powerful, according to his own character, of course, that he is above this created order, and that we don't measure him, Calvin says, by the limits of our own understanding, and something that I find particularly relevant today, that we don't conform his will to our emotions. The heaven is higher than the earth. God is higher than we are. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And it's very easy to think that God works and wills according to how we think about things, feel about things. Our Father in heaven. Calvin says, with all this in mind, though, he says, first, our Father. He's summarizing the last four sections on our Father. He said, it's set before us to give us an assured faith that we trust the Lord. And that Father, he says, interestingly enough, keeps us from doubt and being drawn away to doubt and false gods, false conceptions of God. Father entails love. It entails adoption. Therefore, it leads us to Christ. Therefore, it leads us to assurance of our Father's acceptance. And he returns to the idea of power. Because his throne is established in heaven, from his governing of the universe, we are forcibly reminded that we do not come to him in vain. For he willingly meets us with present help. And very relevantly, Calvin quotes Hebrews 11:6, that if we come to God, we must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him, that he exists. He exists as the majestic, holy, powerful God, and that our coming to him is not in vain, but that he will help us. He will give us wisdom. He will be our refuge. He will come to our defense. And therefore, very fittingly, Calvin closes this his discussion of the preface to the Lord's Prayer with a couple of quotations from Philippians 4, that this is what, as we remember who God is, as we remember his promise to help us, that we have freedom from anxiety and that we can cast all of our cares for him because he cares for us, and therefore we need be anxious about nothing.